Hello, this is Ian Berg with the commercial news, dated Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article, County Sees First COVID-19 Case, a staff report. A Vermilion County resident in their 20s was tested in Champaign County and is currently hospitalized there after having tested positive for COVID-19. That according to the Vermilion County Health Department on Tuesday. Vermilion County Health Department's communicable disease staff began a small surveillance investigation, finding who the person lives with, works with, and spends time with, so that determinations can be made about who needs to be fast-tracked for testing, according to the health department. We are asking residents to continue to be vigilant, practice social distancing, stay home unless necessary to leave, and wash hands frequently. We have been preparing for this, and we have been taking actions to try to minimize COVID-19's impact on the community, stated Doug Toole, public health administrator with the health department. Toole said they could not disclose the person's gender, address, or employer at this time. We have contacted the employer, and we will contact those who were in close proximity, that is, within 6 feet for more than 10 minutes, according to the health department. Toole said their message is still the same about taking the previously mentioned precautions, which also should include cleaning and sanitizing commonly touched surfaces. After the announcement, Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. posted on social media, "Vermilion County, I'm saddened to report that we have our first case of coronavirus. It is critical now, more than ever, that you stay home unless you are an essential worker or must get supplies to sustain your life, such as food and medicine. This means no house parties, visiting relatives, or anything unnecessary. Non-essential businesses caught open will face penalties. It's imperative that we be more vigilant than ever because lives literally depend on it. Let us pray and ask God's mercy and grace over the individual diagnosed, those who had been in contact with him, and over our city, county, region, state, country, and world." Next, we'll go to the article, "Residents Urged to Complete 2020 Census," by Jennifer Bailey. Today may be April Fool's Day, but it is also Census Day. Census response rates show Vermilion County residents are doing their part to fill out their 2020 census questionnaires. However, a lot more need to complete the short process. Vermilion County's response rate of 39.8% is currently higher than the Illinois rate of 37.6% and the national self-response rate of 34.7%. In Danville, the response rate is 35.7%. Elsewhere, Rossville's is 49.1%, Fairmount's is 49%, Westville is 48.1%, Tilton is 47.8%. Georgetown is 46.4%, Hoopston is 45.1%, Indianola is 41.8%, Sidell's is 41.5%, Ridge Farm is 40%, Fithian is 37.7%, Rankins is 37.2%, Potomac is 33%, Catlin is 30.4%, Oakwood is 33.6%, Bismarck is 21.6%, and Henning is 21.4%. In Indiana, Covington's is highest at 55.4%, and above Indiana's current response rate of 38.5%. By today's Census Day, every home was to have received an invitation to participate in the 2020 census. Responses tell the Census Bureau the number of people living in your home as of April 1st, 2020. Numbers from the 2010 census show Vermilion County was undercounted. How high that number was continues to be debated. Our regional folks in Champaign are trying to clarify the 2010 census undercount, according to Doug Toole, public health administrator with the Vermilion County Health Department. Even though the census only takes place every 10 years, the U.S. Census Bureau uses other stats like driver's license registrations, Social Security card registrations, utilization of social service programs, etc., to compare the number of people in an area using resources but failing to participate in the census to conclude an undercount. In an area like Vermilion County, which has high mobility rates, that can really skew the numbers, according to Toole. He says just because someone registered for a driver's license in, say, 2014, does not necessarily mean they were a resident of Vermilion County on April 1st, 2010. Toole says if the U.S. Census Bureau reviews its various databases and determines that, say, 120,000 people live in Vermilion County between 2010 and 2020, and the census showed that only 80,000 people are accounted for, again living here on April 1st, 2020, does that mean that 40,000 people were undercounted, or does it mean that there was an undercount and a lot of mobility over the 10 years? Our message is everyone counts. Fill out your census. It is now easier than ever. It provides a more accurate picture of our community, our state, and our nation, and helps to bring needed resources to our community, he said. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, each person accounts for about $1,400 in state and federal dollars annually for their community. Results from the 2020 census will be used to direct billions of federal funds to local communities for schools, roads, and other public services, to help communities meet transportation and emergency readiness needs, and determine the U.S. House of Representatives seats states have. Residents can complete the census online for the first time, by telephone or by paper. Local residents should have received instructions in the mail to complete the 2020 census questionnaire online. When responses aren't received online, a paper questionnaire will be mailed. By law, response is required, and answers are confidential. Vermilion County 2020 Census Outreach Coordinator Susan Picott says all the census assistance hubs that were planned in the community to reach more people to fill out the census questionnaire have been canceled for now. They hope to reschedule in May. More information on the importance of each county participating in the census can be found on the website 2020centralillinoiscensus.org. If people cannot participate online, they can complete the census by phone in 59 different languages. Specific phone numbers can be found at 2020census.gov/en/contact-us.html. Based on continuing assessments of guidance from federal, state, and local health authorities, the U.S. Census Bureau currently suspended 2020 Census field operations, at least until April 15th. The Census Bureau took this step to help protect the health and safety of the American public, Census Bureau employees, and everyone who will go through the hiring process for temporary census taker positions. The 2020 census is open for self-response online at 2020census.gov, over the phone by calling the number provided in invitations, and by paper through the mail. We'll now head over to the article, Carl, Other Requests on Zoning Agenda, by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. A Carl semi-flat plat and rezoning petition are among the items that the Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission will act on this week. The meeting, at 5:15 on Thursday, was to take place at the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building. However, due to the coronavirus pandemic, the meeting will be hosted as a conference call. According to Danville Grants and Planning Manager Logan Kronk, the phone line doesn't have the capacity to allow the public to join in. Public comments can be sent to Kronk at lcronk@cityofdanville.org or by calling him at his office at 431-2286. The commission will consider Carl Foundation Hospital's requests for approval of the semi-final plat for Carl at the Riverfront Medical Campus, and rezoning the subdivision property from R3 Mixed Residential Zoning, Medium Density, and B1 Neighborhood Business Zoning to P1 Professional Office Zoning. The property is generally bounded by North Street to the south, Gilbert Street to the east, and Madison Street to the north. Uses in the immediate area include residential, automotive repair, office space, and retail. The petition also states about public infrastructure impacts, With the project on roadways and with drivers, that Carl continues to work with the city to mitigate all impacts. Utility impacts will also be mitigated by Carl. In other business, the commission will consider approving a major variance requested by Glenwood Equities LLC for 30 parking spaces at 1427 North Bowman Avenue to relocate the nearby Dollar General to a 9,100 square foot standalone store. Developers have stated there is not enough space for the city's required 46 parking spaces. Dollar General has over 15,000 stores nationwide and never have required 30 parking spaces, the variance paperwork states. It's also stated from the developer that the special circumstance has to do with the amount of available property. The size of the property is prohibiting, it states. The developer says it has built more than 150 of the stores and has had no issues with available parking. The store would locate at the southeast corner of the Crestview Drive and North Bowman Avenue intersection. Also Thursday, the commission will consider a request from Secured Properties Jake Freeman to rezone 200 West William Street from R3 Residential Medium Density Zoning to B3 General Business Zoning. This to allow for professional office space and a showroom. The property is the former Women's Care Clinic at the southwest corner of West Williams and North Franklin Streets. According to the Danville Public Works staff recommendation for approval, the property is directly adjacent to residential housing, but city staff believe the location should have been designated for commercial or professional use in the past. We'll now go to the death notices. William A. Baker, 81, of Danville, passed away on March 29, 2020. A private family graveside service for Bill will take place on Thursday, April 2nd, at Atherton Cemetery in Danville. Martha Ann Sweeney, 96, of Covington, Indiana, died on Saturday, March 28, 2020. Graveside services will be at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, April 1st, in Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington. Dale William Fetters, 86, of Hoopston, formerly of Rossville, passed away on Monday, March 30th, 2020. Due to the health concerns at this time, a private family graveside service will be held. Memorials may be made to the Rossville Church of Christ in Rossville, Illinois. Howard Varner, 89, of Danville, passed away on March 27, 2020. Services are private family only on Thursday, April 2nd, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville. He will be laid to rest at Hicks Cemetery in Perrysville, Indiana. Donations in his memory can be made to the American Cancer Society. Now we'll go to the article, Pursuit Ends in Arrest of Danville Man, a staff report. Danville. A Monday afternoon police pursuit ended in an arrest of fleeing and eluding in an outstanding warrant. Eric D. Clark, 24, of Danville, was arrested after a motorist stopped a police officer and informed them about an armed subject in a black-colored vehicle. The victim pointed out the suspect vehicle and told the officer the driver had just pointed a gun at him and was following the victim while threatening to shoot him, a press release issued Tuesday by Josh Webb said. The officer attempted to conduct a traffic stop on the vehicle to investigate, but the suspect refused to stop. A vehicle pursuit began in the area of Collett and Main Streets and proceeded to the Southgate Drive area before going to Griffin and Vine, where other responding officers had blocked the road and the pursuit ended. The driver and sole occupant of the vehicle was identified as Clark. Clark was taken into custody and charged with aggravated fleeing and eluding, as well as an outstanding Vermilion County arrest warrant for failure to appear on a previous court case. Officers were unable to locate a firearm during the search of the vehicle. However, a short time later, at 4:03 p.m., police received a call from a citizen who had located a firearm lying in the roadway of Southgate Drive. Police are still investigating whether or not this firearm was related to the incident. Bond for Clark has been set at $50,000 at 10%. No injuries were reported during the incident. The investigation continues, and no other information is being released at this time. Anyone who has information regarding this incident is asked to call Danville Police at 217-431-2250 or Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-TIPS. Now we'll go to the article. Illinois Governor Extends Stay-at-Home Order to April 30th, from the Associated Press, Springfield. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, on Tuesday, extended his statewide stay-at-home order for 3 weeks as the nation struggles to contain the spread of the coronavirus. Pritzker set a new deadline of April 30th for keeping people inside, except if necessary, to go to a job deemed essential or take care of needs such as getting food or going to a healthcare provider. The new coronavirus had led to the deaths of at least 99 people in Illinois out of more than 5,994 infections. And the number continues to grow, Pritzker said. Our greatest risk of hitting capacity isn't right now, but weeks from now, Pritzker said. The virus is spreading and growing. So are its risks. We must not let up now. The Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability, a bipartisan legislative fiscal analyst, said Tuesday that it's possible that the economic impact of COVID-19 could mean a drop in state tax revenues of $8 billion, about 20% of the state's typical annual income, although the loss might be spread over several years. Pritzker initially closed schools and restaurants and bars on March 13th. Then issued the stay-at-home order a week later. The period was to end on April 7th, but experts have said the rising number of cases in Illinois won't have reached its peak by then. On Sunday, President Donald Trump said that the social distancing rules, staying at least 6 feet apart from others and not gathering in groups larger than 10, should run through April. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot said Tuesday that the city is renting nearly 300 hotel rooms for first responders working during the coronavirus outbreak and worried that returning home between shifts puts their family members at risk. Lightfoot said the city will foot the cost for the first responders, including Chicago's police, firefighters, or paramedics who want to use the downtown hotel rooms rather than returning to their own homes. She said the city is making arrangements for healthcare workers with the same concerns about spreading the virus to their families, and will announce details soon. City health authorities have reported 2,167 positive cases of COVID-19 and 16 deaths linked to the virus in Chicago. There's no sugarcoating this, Lightfoot said. The numbers are going to get worse before they get better. Chicago previously reserved more than 2,000 downtown hotel rooms for people who needed a place to isolate or quarantine away from home as they recover from mild cases of COVID-19, the disease caused by the virus that do not require hospital stays. For most people, the new coronavirus causes mild or moderate symptoms, such as fever and cough, that clear up in 2 to 3 weeks. For some, especially older adults and people with existing health problems, it can cause more severe illness, including pneumonia and death. Now we'll go to the article. Danville man receives 12 years in IDOC, a staff report. A Danville man has been sentenced to 12 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections, according to a Tuesday press release by the state's attorney Jacqueline M. Lacey. Kashawn Stapleton, formerly of Campbell Street in Danville, was sentenced by Circuit Judge Nancy S. Fahey for the offense of home invasion, a Class 10 felony. He is required to serve 50% of the sentence. In early February 2019, when Stapleton was 16, he and two other males went to a house located on Moore Street to break into the victim's home. Stapleton and the others entered the home while she was asleep and pointed a gun at her and demanded money. Stapleton took a PlayStation 4 from the home. The victim was not physically injured. After the suspects fled, law enforcement arrived, and Stapleton was apprehended near the home invasion with the PlayStation shoved in the front of his pants, the release said. He was also armed with a firearm. Stapleton was under the jurisdiction of the juvenile justice system for his role in the crime. Lacey requested that the crime be transferred to adult criminal court. After a hearing was conducted, an order transferring the matter was obtained. After serving his 12-year sentence, Stapleton will be placed on 3 years of mandatory supervised release. Lacey thanked the Danville Police Department for their efforts in the case and reaffirmed that, when permitted by law, violent juvenile offenders in Vermilion County will not be able to avoid transfer to adult court and appropriate penalties for violent criminal acts. And now for some sports discussion, we'll head over to the sports section. First with the article, Underwood, Illini, Deal with New Situations, by Chad Dare. Champagne. College coaches, like most of us, are creatures of habit. Illinois men's basketball coach Brad Underwood is no different. Normally, he would be making his plans to hit the recruiting trail, along with setting up visits for potential recruits. But those plans have been eliminated this year because of the coronavirus, COVID-19, pandemic crisis. There was an immediate ban on in-person recruiting. "I tell everyone that it's junior college recruiting," said Underwood, who was the head coach at Dodge City Community College from 1990 to 1993, and Daytona State College from 2004 to 2006. "You have to get on the phone, build relationships, and do the background checks. You try to get as much information as you can possibly get through the digital route. And that goes both ways. It's the coaches trying to find out as much as they can about potential recruits, and transfers along with the program trying to inform the potential additions about the Illinois program. It's a lot of work with videos," Underwood said. "We have spent the past 2 weeks working on the videos and the graphics. We are trying to find ways to communicate with them. I think you will see a lot of the kids that have already made some visits, both official and unofficial, starting to commit because they know that things are not going to change much in the next couple of months. So, how will that affect the Fighting Illini, who went 21-10 this past year and finished the year as number 21 rated in the Associated Press's rankings? We feel like we are in a good position at every spot," Underwood said. "You start getting very detailed, and we could potentially use a stretch four. But we have to make sure that we have the right fit for our locker room and the right fit for the pieces on the court. If that fit doesn't happen, we aren't great." Since the season ended on March 13th, Illinois has seen a pair of sophomores, Alan Griffin and Tevian Jones, elect to enter the transfer portal with the intent of leaving the Illinois program. "I'm never surprised," said Underwood when asked specifically about Griffin, who averaged 8.9 points per game. "There is nothing that is shocking anymore. He made his decision. You wish him nothing but the best. Hopefully, he is in a position to find what he wants." Underwood added that the number of players in the transfer portal is up 150 from this point last year. And according to the NCAA, 694 players entered the portal after the 2019 season. And actually, two of those players were on the Illinois roster this season and sat out because of NCAA rules. Jacob Grandison is a 6-6 guard forward from Holy Cross, where he averaged 13.9 points, 5 rebounds, and 2.9 assists per game, along with Austin Hutcherson, 6-6 guard from Wesleyan University in Connecticut, who averaged 20 points and 5.6 rebounds and 3.2 assists per game. "Most of the world doesn't know about Austin and Jacob and what they bring to our table," Underwood said. "We get so consumed with grad transfers and recruiting classes that we forget that Baylor, who was number one for most of the season, that their roster were all sit-out guys for the most part." Can Grandison and Hutcherson actually replace Griffin and Jones? "Those two guys are basically the same size, but very different," Underwood said. "Austin can play at the 1-2-3 positions, and Jacob can play the 2-3-4 spots. They bring different things to the table. To have them go through practice was huge. There were times they were a handful on the scout team, and now they are older. It allows us to be in a position where we don't have to panic and take a piece where it would be a question mark. It's about fitting in. We can be pretty selective." Underwood admits that he prefers guys that have to sit out a season rather than a grad transfer who was eligible immediately. "It's a year of learning and getting stronger," he said. Both have added close to 20 pounds. "In my time, it is very seldom that anything bad comes from sitting out. But there is still one really big question looming over the program. Will Ayo Dunsamu, the team's leading scorer at 16.6 per game and their unquestioned leader, be back for his junior season? or will he enter the NBA draft? There are a lot of factors that are so unknown, said Underwood, as the status with everything in the NBA and other professional leagues has been put on hold. Unless you are a pretty surefire top 10 pick, it gets pretty challenging to know what the process is going to be. Io is in a position to examine all of those things and talk with his people. They have done the evaluation process. That is there for all of the players. Underwood said that the Illinois program is going to offer Don Samu their support and help. We will always have a home for him, he said. We will deal with that when and if it happens. Right now, Underwood said, it's all about safety and well-being of his players. All of them have returned to their homes, with the exception of Georgi Behazavali and Kipper Nichols, who are still on campus. And then Benjamin Bosmans Verdonk is staying with a friend in Bloomington. Twice a week, every Monday and Thursday, we do Zoom, said Underwood, of the remote conferencing service. We get together. We are talking basketball and joking around. And then Fletch, strength and conditioning coach Adam Fletcher, has an app where everyone gets on. He is putting them through a workout every day. Underwood also pointed out that Josh Whitman, director of athletics at Illinois, also has a weekly teleconference with all of the Illinois athletes. Underwood admits that he is very worried about freshman Kofi Cockburn and junior Trent Frazier, as Cockburn is back at home in New York and Frazier is in South Florida. We are constantly reminding them, as well as anyone else, to wash your hands and stay in, said Underwood, noting that coronavirus has not infected anyone associated with Illinois basketball. There has been one positive for Underwood during this process. We've had a lot of family dinners recently, and that's awesome, he said. We'll now go over to the community brief section for some updates on what's happening in the local area. In Danville, extra collections stop. Due to current health risks, the Danville Public Works Solid Waste Division is stopping all extra collections for the time being. This means there will be no further collection of large items and minor or major setouts. This will remain in effect until further public notice. All normal household garbage in containers will continue to be collected on regular collection days. Also, KFC to serve fish. The Knights of Columbus will hold its Lenten fish fry from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. on Friday. Fish, chicken, shrimp, or combo dinners will be served curbside at the hall at 310 Bryan Avenue. Fish or chicken strips will be $8, with breaded shrimp for $9. Cost for children younger than 12 is $4. Next, DATS sets meeting. The Danville Area Transportation Study Technical Committee will meet at 10:30 a.m. Thursday for a conference call. Public comments should be made in advance by emailing scole@cityofdanville.org or calling 431-2384. And finally, panel cancel meeting. The Board of Fire and Police Commissioners has canceled the regular scheduled meeting at 5 p.m. April 7th in the Mayor's Conference Room at 17 West Main Street due to coronavirus. That's going to be all the time we have for today. This has been Ian with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, April 1st, 2020. Thanks for joining me.